in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So good. Praise God. This morning, we are continuing in our series of For the Power of Forgiveness. Honestly, I think the Lord is really working on our hearts because this is week number, I think, 4 for the power of forgiveness. So, which is good, which is really good. And if you haven't read the Pentecostal Life, I alluded to it a few weeks ago, but this one here, I found a little something in here that I thought was really super cool. And if you have me, how many have actually taken this one here and had a chance to look at it? Praise God. Good stuff in here. It's all about when offenses come. So really, really good. And this particular speaker here just said that there was a wise choice of how to handle offenses come from a senior saint who had a demeanor that was very serene. When asked about her ability to maintain a peaceful poise, she revealed her secret. She said this, and I liked it so much, I'll just start with this. She said, "Many years ago, I began the practice of choosing to forgive everybody of every offense every evening before I go to sleep." Praise God, right? I mean, when you think about it, why would you want to bring something with you into your night's rest anyway, right? So I think that's a beautiful thing to do. God bless all of you that are here this morning. So many ministers and pastors and teachers and preachers, and thank you. Praise God. No pressure, right? You know, that God would just help us to have a repentant heart, a repentant spirit, and to, when we do that, we minister not only to ourselves, but we get to minister to other people when we have that repentant heart, repentant spirit. And there was an icebreaker in the book, and I just couldn't do it because it just seemed so wrong. Sorry. So I chose my own icebreaker, and I won't even say what it is because it's just not right. How would you today put into words what forgiveness feels like? If you had to put just a word or a sentence, how does that feel? Forgiveness. Freeing. Relief. Praise God. Cleansing. Yes. Yes. Liberating. Absolutely. You know, our scripture text today, and it's a heavy subject, but it doesn't have to be heavy. I think forgiveness is light because we practice it as Christians, and it frees us. It's liberating. It helps us overcome so many things. And then we don't have to live in really bondage of bitterness and sadness and remorse and many other things. Luke chapter 23, verse 42 is the main scripture for today. And if you want to turn to the book of Luke, we're going to read more than just that one scripture. But I'm going to start with that one. Luke 23. Praise God. Luke 23, and I'm going to start with 42, because that's basically the main verse. And it says this, it says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Today we're talking about the tale of the two thieves on the cross. So when we go and look at our reading, if we start in Luke chapter 23 and start with verse 32, this is basically the story and what's happening here. And it says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. And if he be Christ, the chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanging railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justify justly, for we, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And this is where Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Praise God. You know, we talk about repentance. We talk about forgiveness, but it would just be wrong to talk about forgiveness without talking about repentance first. I was like, how do we get to forgiveness? We've got to start with repentance. Repentance is really the door that opens to forgiveness. And what is that repentance? It's, of course, turning away from sin. And it really is the act of changing our mind in Jesus Christ to something that's beautiful and true and biblical and right. And it goes beyond remorse. It goes beyond feeling bad. It goes beyond regret. It goes even beyond the sin. It's more of turning away from that mentality of living in sin and justifying it and thinking it's okay and just being removed from it completely. That is repenting of it. I'm going to repent of it. I'm not going to. And in the Old Testament, we're given so many scripture passages where repentance or a wholehearted turning to God was a reoccurring theme for the prophets, for sure. Repentance was demonstrated through rituals such as fasting, wearing sackcloth, sitting in ashes, wailing, lamenting, expressing sorrow for sin. Have any of you seen that on the street corners lately? No. When the prophets asked for repentance to God, they were calling for a complete turnaround, a complete turnaround of their heart to one powerful God. And the prophets called the nation of Israel to surrender their lives and not to be ruled by sin anymore, but to surrender their lives to God and to give all ownership to God. And in the book of Joel 2, verses 12 through 13 says, "Even now, this is the Lord's declaration. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your heart, not just your clothes, and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faith, love, and he relents from sending disaster." Praise God. In the New Testament, we have John the Baptist, and he continues this theme of repentance into the New Testament. And then Jesus urges the people to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's so important for us to understand that before we come into this beautiful place of forgiveness, that there is a place of repentance. It's that dying out to ourself and surrendering to God. And that true repentance really is takes a hold of God's mercy and involves that changing of attitude so greatly. People live and are so sidetracked by the slave of sin and find it hard sometimes to come to that place of repentance. But God is always waiting and wanting to forgive our sins and change our hearts, change our minds. And when we do, our hearts are changed, yes. Our souls are changed, yes. Our actions are changed. We do different things. We don't do the same sinful, ungodly things. Praise God. And to recognize that we have sinned, and that is, sin to God is offensive. It's not, he doesn't like it, love it. He he hates it. He wants us to turn away from it. So as followers of Christ, we want to love and like the things he loves and likes and turn away from sin and ungodly things. It's been said, you know when you've experienced grace and you feel like you've been forgiven, you're a lot more forgiving of other people, a lot more gracious to others, when you know yourself that you've been forgiven. And I know Pastor touched on the Lord's Prayer on Thursday night. I was like, oh, I wonder if he's going to go here. But I was like, the Lord's Prayer, remember the Lord's Prayer. There's one portion of it says, and this portion, the Lord's Prayer came about when the Lord was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished praying, the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we ask the Lord to give us our daily bread. Do you notice that there's a comma right there? And it says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. The request assumes that we need forgiveness as much as we need bread. Bread deals with our physical, our temporary, and then our spiritual forgiveness, our spiritual or eternal. But we need to be forgiven and forgive, right? So in learning to pray, we've got to ask God for forgiveness and to be able to give forgiveness. And his mercy is wonderful and great. Psalms 86 and 5 says, for you, Lord, are good and eager to forgive. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Praise God. He forgives and he's eager to do so. He's eager to do so. In that most dramatic moment on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. That's something when we have been offended by someone, in that most dramatic moment, whatever's happening, we need to be in a place where we say, Lord, let me forgive. Let me forgive and not take to my bed that night so I can have sweet rest in you, the offenses that have come that day. Besides the name of Jesus, what would you say is the most precious word found in the Word of God? What was that, sis? Mercy. I figured someone would say mercy or maybe grace. Perhaps mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Grace, his grace towards us. Love. God so loved the world, right? Maybe the word heaven, it just conjures this image of heaven and being with loved ones, right? I'm just thinking of the word, yes. Well done. Well done. And because we're talking about forgiveness, I'm thinking, forgiveness? But true. No, in a cemetery not far from New York, inscribed upon a tombstone is one word, forgiven. No name, no date, no death, no death date. The stone was not embellished with art. One word, forgiven. Praise God. Oh, my word. How would you put into words how it feels to be forgiven? When you're talking to somebody, how would you put into words how it feels to be forgiven of Almighty God? Isn't that just amazing? We put that into words. When our Lord was on that cross, he was mocked. The Roman soldiers mocked him by whipping. They wrapped a scarlet robe around him. They shoved this crown of thorns on his head. They placed a reed in his hand like a scepter. They pretended to honor him by kneeling before him. They said, Hail, King of the Jews. and they mercilessly scourged him and then crucified him. Jesus was put on that cross, dying for our sins, even dying for the people that hated him and murdered him. In Matthew 27, also in our text, 39 through 43, it says, "And they passed and reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him know, now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.'" And if you look back in scripture, it fulfills so many scriptures, and one I found in 22, Psalms 7 through 8, fulfilling that almost exact Matthew 27, 39. People shook their heads in scorn. They did not realize that Jesus was the Son of God, the Savior, King of Israel. And above Jesus on the cross was a sign saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And what this did was it showed everybody what he was accused. This was his accusation. When someone was crucified, the charge against the person was written down, and usually the criminal carried it, hung around their neck, and then the sign was placed on the top of the cross, intended so that anyone who's seen this would not want to commit the same crime. So the thieves on each side probably had their thief, and then we have Jesus in the middle. The sign above Jesus in the middle was intended to be sarcastic, because neither the Jews nor the Romans were affirming that Jesus was the King of the Jews. He came to die for our sins. We have forgiveness of sins because of all of what Jesus Christ has done. We follow and we get to worship and praise him. Thank God that we have a Messiah. Thank God that he came and died for our sins. So thankful. We get to worship him. Worship is more than words. It's living a devoted life to him. That is a worshipful life to God. It's not just coming to a place of worship, a house of worship, but it's more than that. It's our whole life. It's our walk. It's getting up every morning, putting our feet on the ground, saying, "Lord, I give you this day." It's walking with him through the day. It's getting to go to bed at night, putting our feet up into our bed and saying, "Lord, I thank you for this day." It's our worship. Every day we breathe and live, and we get to worship our God. Praise God. This attitude of love for him and trust in him. Psalms 104, verses 2 through 4 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." Thank you. Yes. Psalms 103. Thank you. Perfect. Well, not quite. Praise God. Who redeems you from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. That is our God. Praise God. I love 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." That is our worship. We glorify him. We get to live for him. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you." Wow. How can we be any less enthusiastic or worshipful or dedicated or in love with our God after all that he has done for us, right? One of the leaders in the religious world, D.L. Moody, said this. He said, "The voice of sin is loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder." How beautiful the Lord's words were on the day on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There was an unrepentant thief beside him on the cross. One of the thieves asked Jesus to save himself and both criminals. In other words, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior King. Save us. If you have so much power, it's just the attitude, right? In the words, right? Just the attitude. If you have so much power, start using it. Start with yourself and then save us too. Not a very humble, nice attitude. But we must be humble in approaching God for forgiveness. When we come before him humbly, the Bible defines humble as the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." True humility seeks to bring glory and honor to God and looks out for the interests of others. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." Wow. Just the speech when you read it, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Praise God. Thank you. So good. I like quotes. C.S. Lewis said, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." You ever see those, they would be called trials, and you've got somebody accused of murder and you've got the family that gets to speak out after and say a few words. You ever see those parents that will get up with tears in their eyes and let the one that has committed this crime against their child say, "I forgive you. I forgive you for killing my son or my daughter or my niece or nephew or my husband or wife. I forgive you." I think, wow, that is what we're called to do. We are called to forgive the inexcusable. And that is tough because we live in the flesh. We are human. But through God's Spirit, we are able to do all things. He will help us to forgive the ones that have offended us and hurt us. And what does that really mean? That God's complete forgiveness for us is God's blessing that we can forgive others because we have been forgiven. When he forgives us, it's complete. He removes our sin from our life. He just removes that sin. God forgives us, and he sees us as unblemished. He sees us as blameless before him. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. Colossians 1:22 in the New Living Translation says, "Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." So many people get so burdened down with the guilt of shame, even after they have been forgiven, they cannot forgive themselves, and they're constantly beating themselves up. Hey, Satan will do a really good job beating you up. You do not need to beat yourself up. You know, this world is tough enough and hard enough, and there are enough trials. But instead, we learn that we can trust God, who's not far away in a place called heaven, but he is with us, and he is instant, and he is there for us, and he is our strength. Instead, you know what? We have this great opportunity to have this close relationship with him, and not that because we deserve it, but because he's a loving God He's a loving God. He loves us so very much. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 2, unless Aaron, you've got it, verses 3 through 8. Thank you. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation and took unto him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. And in doing so, when he forgives our sins, Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The east and the west never meet. Right? Just, it's amazing. Love it. One lady that has done so much, and she's passed, Mother Teresa, I love her quotes. I always have, and I just do. She said this, if we really want to love, we must learn how to forgive. Wow, it's profound, right? But then she said this, whatever our religion, we know that if we really want to love, we must first learn to forgive before anything else. You know, it's like leaving your gift at the altar and making it right with whoever needs to be reconciled with, and then bringing that offering of worship and praise back to God again, free, unshackled from the burden of the weight of whatever has been bothering or offending. Forgiveness is really a form of love. We could just say forgiveness equals love. Love equals forgiveness. And we've heard it say, these kind of like the little phrases we've heard it said, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. Amen? Three of our most powerful resources are love, prayer, and forgiveness. God's so good. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So thankful for that. Letting go of sin in our life is what the Lord commanded in the Old Testament. He's commanded in the New Testament. The kingdom of God is not all about us individually. It's about us surrendering our life, or who's going to be the Lord of our life, to Jesus Christ and his will, what he wants. In doing that, we probably will have to let go of some things, because we may not be able to carry some of those things with us. The burden might just get too heavy for us. And it's okay. We can let go of some of those things that we've been carrying, because God is doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Wow, this is what our God is doing. So we can forgive ourselves when God forgives us, and then we, in turn, can forgive others when we've been offended or hurt. Praise God. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, right? I just want to be more like him. I'm so thankful that he's always ready to save our souls from sin and our friends and our family souls from sins. Praise God for that. He's so good. Yeah. How do we forgive someone who's hurt us deeply? Do you guys have experiences? What's your go-to Do you have a go-to scripture in your heart? Or is it a thought that you cling to? I often go to the story of Corrie ten Boom and how she was able to forgive the people that were the guards at the concentration camp. And she was able to live through that, see the loss of, and the death of her sister. In my mind, I just think of the terrible things that happened and how she could have just held on to a grudge. And when she did meet one of her jail keepers, you would say, she was able to forgive. She put her hand out and shake his hand. It gets me every time. Is there something that you go to for forgiving when someone else has offended you? Is there something that you go to for a scripture? Yes, sis?
Well, my flesh has vengeance is mine, by the way.
Yeah. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? Right? Yeah. You know, when you've been hurt, it's almost like the steps of grief in many ways, because you go through all of those steps and you just want to do whatever you can to make it right. Get on with your life. But it really has to be taken care of. It's like you can't have a beautiful fire when you're camping. I mean, a beautiful meal when you're camping and you can't start a fire. You've got to get the fire started. You've got, you know, if you want hot water, cook the meal. It's like the beginning. This forgiveness of others is such a beginning point for us as Christians. Yes. Yeah. Forgiving. What other things do you go to for just strength to help you? Yes.
Just knowing that our steps are ordered and that God does things with a purpose, not just, you know, you're just going to go through this to go through it. There's something greater to be gained out of whatever circumstance we find ourselves in.
Absolutely. I like that. When our heads are buried in our prayer pillow and we're crying our guts out, and we're to know that our lives have a purpose and God has a purpose. For whatever reason, he has allowed this time, this season. And it could be for you to grow, yes. And it could be for someone else to grow also. Because when you forgive someone, the offender, you are doing them a service also by releasing them and forgiving them, because then they can be what God wants them to be and grow. God's so good. Did anyone else want to share? Yes. Praise God. Isn't it so beautiful? I know, and it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. And I, you know, personally just tell God how hard it is. And he knows. He will not leave you in any of these steps, especially if you are drawing nigh to him and you are wanting that relationship. You want that clean, pure relationship with others, that maybe there has been an offense and maybe words have been said, things have been done, and you're like, I just have to get past this, and then God can bring you into something beautiful, like beauty for ashes, out of something that's so painful and the struggle has been so horrendous. God can make something beautiful out of it. I love that. Yeah. Did anyone else want to share how? Yes, sis. Yes. Yes. Mark 11, 25:26, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone. This is in the New Living Translation. First forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. Yeah. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. It's almost like as harsh as the prophets preached and taught in the Old Testament. That's pretty direct, isn't it? So it does help when you think of that. It does. Because we want to live our lives pleasing to God in the word of God, in living by the word of God. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, yes. Well, yes. Very good, sister.
So I'd just like to say, if anybody actually really knows me from my growing up years, like where I was raised and anything that I've been through, and then to see what happened with my father and what happened with my mother, now I can share that, because if someone else is going through the same thing or has had the same sort of thing in their life, choose which way you go. The other thing says, Lord, take me, be true. He believes, he humbles himself. And the other one, so that's a direction right there. What we have to do through life, you have to choose life or death.
Right.
Right or wrong.
Right.
With God, not to be the king.
Right. Very true, the whole lesson, really, in a nutshell. Absolutely. I know that people suffer and have a hard time with forgiving. And we have like about 5 minutes before we kind of go just for a little break. If we can just take a few minutes right now and just that heart's desire to forgive and to allow God to heal and to let you grow into the person that he wants you to be for you and for your family, if we could do that right now, that would be great. And if you want to pray with someone right now, that would be great too. This is just a really powerful time that we can take just a few minutes in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Praise God. God bless you as we prepare and enter into worship service. God bless you on this Sunday. And may you just feel his presence and his power and his anointing and go in God. Amen. Praise God.